And I'm sorry for the sound quality. I think we have to work on that a little bit. There's Jennifer was playing Oriental Sunrise. It was coming across Skype, and that might be part of the reason that the sound becomes uneven. At any rate, welcome to this sacred garden stage. So, as I said, Jennifer Jones and I are co-hosting, and Holly is going to ring the bell. But we'll try it again later, Holly, and see if we can still hear it.
Okay.
If we can hear it then. The other thing is, I know there are people on the call who probably haven't been on the call before or on these calls, so welcome. It's nice to have you all here. And I think before we start, it might be nice to just take a quick turn around our circle, if you will, to see just the name of who's here and where you are at this point in time. And then we'll have a sense of who's present in the circle. So just give your name and where you're calling from.
This is Tennyson, and I'm calling from a snowy afternoon in Utah.
Okay.
And this is Jennifer.
This is Terry, and I'm calling from Paris, France.
Was that Terry?
I heard Terry and Tennyson.
And this is Jennifer in England, in Bath.
This is Holly in Jacksonville, Florida.
Anyone else?
This is Judy from Alberta, Canada.
Okay. Welcome. Anyone else? Oh, welcome. Several others said they would join us, so maybe they'll still come. So what I wanted to do also, just to begin the call, is kind of read you just a little bit that I actually took from the blog site about the Gardens of Peace. It gives us a sense as we move into this call about kind of the thinking behind it. And this actually came from one of the early calls. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
So I'll read just a little bit of text. We sense a deep desire for a community of heart-centered people who are alive, awake, and able to connect on an essential level. The gardener within and together as a developing community. It is from this open space that the collective wisdom, heart, and spirit will continue to grow and take shape. This garden provides the vessel in which this growth will emerge, stand, and ultimately bear fruits of all kinds, and where you are invited to reflect privately or aloud with others in this circle. And realize that only you know what this garden is all about for you. No one of us can tell you how that might be or how you might contribute in the world. So let us be fully present now to discover who we are together as we cultivate the possibilities of our collective garden. As we move into this call, also you may have remembered on the invitation, Jennifer actually included this quote by Black Elk, and so I want to read that as well. May we see not only with our two eyes, but with the one eye, which is our heart. And as we gather here, I'm holding a heart. And today I want to offer this as the talking piece. You can touch the heart and take it from the center when you choose to speak. And I also have a candle burning, the light of wisdom, the light of the one heart, lighting our garden. And before we move into a check-in space, which I'll say a little bit more about Jennifer, will you share a little bit about our framing for this call?
Sure, yes. Okay, so this is Jennifer, and we're doing this call just after the equinox. The equinox is the period when day and night are of equal length. It's a very powerful time, a potent time for our planet. And at this time, the equinox, which happened last week, is the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere. Of course, it's the autumn equinox or the fall equinox in the southern hemisphere. But it's a time of awakening, the spring equinox, quickening, coming alive, and coming out of the winter. And this year, the equinox also coincided with the full moon and also Easter weekend in the Western calendar. So the equinox is a time of endings and beginnings. The equinox marks the beginning of the astrological year when the sun moves into the sign of Aries. Aries carries the life force that energizes new life as it bursts forth. So this represents new projects, new ways. And I'm sure if any of you are in the Northern Hemisphere and have gone out into the countryside, or indeed in your own gardens, you will have seen the sprouts of new growth that are coming through the soil, and the birds that are beginning to sing in the trees. And so those fragile new sprouts receive the stamina to move beyond the limitations or harsh conditions to rise up, to be born anew in the spring. So before we begin, I also want to remind you of some of the guidelines for our call. I'm sure most of us here know all about that, but I'll say it anyway just to remind anyone who doesn't. So we ask that you listen with attention, that you speak with intention, that you tend to the well-being of the group, and as we each take the heart to voice our contribution, we speak briefly and return the peace to the centre. Before we move into the call, Holly, could you ring the bell again just to have a couple of moments of silence, and then once again to come out?
Yes, I will try. Someone else, please feel free to ring one if mine is not coming through.
I can try mine if yours doesn't work, Holly, but keep going. Give it a go.
Will you ring yours?
I will, okay.
Ready?
Yep, I'll do mine. I'll just do it once more.
Well, this is Judy again, and let me just say a few words before we check in, and we'd like to hear a little bit from everyone to bring you fully into the circle. As I said, I have the heart as a talking piece. So when you sense it right for you to check in, I invite you to take the heart from the center. And as you check in, again, please say your name so we know who you are, and give voice to how the question, which I'll mention in a moment, is alive in you. And I'm not sure, but I think we have probably just 7 or 8 people on the call, unless others have joined us or didn't identify themselves before, but we'd really like everyone to check check in so that you come fully into the space. So the question, here's the question for the check-in, and because there aren't as many as there might have been, you can take a couple of minutes, you know, and incorporate a little bit about where you are given the question. So the question, and I'll say it a couple of times, and then the heart will be in the center. What is awakening now in me as a gardener of peace? What is awakening now in me as a gardener of peace? The heart is in the center.
About a year ago at this time, I found a rock on the beach that I had been manifesting with the heart. It's about a year ago at this time, but I found this almost perfectly shaped heart. I'm just finishing a week of hosting a conversation for the Conversation Week online on the question of how can we keep our children prepared for the future? There were people from different parts of the country and a few places outside the state. Excuse me. It was a very rich conversation with lots of feeling, with lots of ideas, philosophies, incredible work that some people are involved in, and wonderful, rich life experiences. All of it ranging from here's what we need to do to help children, you know, be more open, have more creativity, not be so stifled by education, to leaving children to be as they are and then trying to fix things or make things for them, and anything in between now around that. This particular period of time for me, I'm moving into a period of transition that's long been awaiting. And in my own readings and tarot card readings recently, which I began to embrace and explore, it seems this is a time for me to really be in deeper reflection about my own purpose. And the reason that I picked the question to host about children is the children having something to do with helping children thrive, or the future of children in the world has been deep in my heart for a very long time, even if I have named God in that way. I have a deep love for children and their uniqueness, and I see myself sometime in the future, I'm not sure when, probably going someplace overseas to work with children in a different environment. Some children here certainly deserve it. And I think I need a totally different environment for myself, for more of what's growing within me to come alive in a different experiential way. So what is beginning to come alive from more and more is really listening to what is this desire about helping children. What does it look like for me? Do I need to think about that? Can I just be with that? Allowing myself space to sink into more reflection, which is challenging. So I put the piece in the center. Thank you. this is Holly, and I'd like to pick up the heart piece and answer the question in what is awakening now and mean. By saying somehow over the equinox, I felt or given myself permission to heal, perhaps might be more honest, that it's the right time, it's a safer time for me to root where I live and do the next level of work that I'm looking forward to doing. I feel I've lived rather nomad-like for the last 13 years, and I moved back to Florida a year and a half ago and wasn't sure this was the right spot in Florida for me. But I think over the last few weeks, I've made a commitment to let myself root here and to use this as my home base. And that feels like a tremendous awakening and opening, and very much coincides with the spring. And I don't think I realized how much not letting myself do that was draining my energy for creating and co-creating with others. I'm delighted to make that choice. I'll put the piece back in the center.
I'll say a little bit about what is awakening in me. And what we're doing right now is really a large part of what's awakening in me. I'm listening more and more to the inner voice that comes alive and shows me what my role can be. And it's really about being in conscious conversation with others. And when appropriate, hosting those conversations. And it isn't just about me hosting, but it's about doing it with others. And so this opportunity to co-host with Jennifer was really just a gift that way. And I think we both really enjoyed the process. I know I did. And so I can see this awakening in me more and more as I step forward to do this ever more in a conscious and purposeful way in my life. And as some of you know, it'll be coming more into being later this week in the Art of Hosting that's being held near Boston. And some other things that I'm doing where I'm collaborating with others to create and host conversations. I think it's a new way of being for us to learn how to be together. I think we're cultivating that. And for me, it's just an honor to be part of that process of bringing you to the field. So I'll put the piece back in the center. I think somebody else might have just joined us. And if that's the case, we're doing a check-in. And the question is, what is awakening now in me as a gardener? Put the piece back in the center.
So I'm going to pick up the heart. It's Jennifer here in the UK. And thank you for saying those things, Judy. I have also enjoyed very much our process of co-hosting this conversation and the process of gathering together the Gardeners of Peace. And as I check in about the awakening, there are various things that are happening for me at the moment, one of which is that indeed the sprouts are pushing themselves through the pots on my roof garden, and so I've been gathering little plants and also tending to some of the plants that I already have, so that in the summer my garden will be in full bloom. And so I've been really conscious as I've been connecting with the soil, even though all my soil is in pots. I've been really conscious of that, and also the birds around the garden who have been tweeting their heads off. But the other thing that's awakening for me again, or reawakening probably for me, some of you may know that I'm a singer, and I've been neglecting my singing rather over the last 3 or 4 years. And so that is an area of my life that I'm allowing to reemerge and to connect with. And that's very exciting. And indeed, this week I shall be doing a little bit of recording, which is also very exciting. So I'm very pleased about that. And it's like somebody else said, I think it was you, Judy, again. It's about listening to that voice about where, for me, where I am in my life, what am I doing with it, and where do I want to be, and then trying to follow the voice inside. So that's what is awakening for me, and I put the heart back in the center.
Hello, this is, I'll call myself Judith, and I pick up the piece, the heart piece in the center. The sensation that I have is of reawakening. I have this strong urge maybe about 8 years ago to try and connect with people at a distance, and it just also coincided with me having just got a computer and then that wonderful ability to do that through the internet. And so been on a journey for some time, connecting with people and learning about how to do that. I'm very interested in, and this is new for me, with the art of posting guidelines, but I like them very, very much. So my really strong interest is how can people stay engaged with one another? I mean, I know people need a rest from each other, but that they would hang in with each other over time and be a community together. So I needed to say recently I had some problems with my computer and internet service and so on, and and almost contemplated giving it up totally because I got so frustrated. Also, not just with the technical things, but also with not knowing is it a problem that I have, and do I scare people away? I'm afraid of that. Am I too intense about wanting to stay connected with people? Does that scare them away? Then the Gardeners of Peace, this is my, I'm losing my internet service, going to start another, but it, there would be a wait period, and to deal, I was able to stay connected by mail, and it reminded me of some of my houseplants, that I'm a pretty poor gardener sometimes, that I forget to water them, or overwater, or whatever, but I just felt like a plant that got some water. And I put the piece back into the center.
This is Kenson. I'd like to pick up the heartstone for a moment. Greetings to all. I'm starting to feel my way into the call a little bit more as I listen to your voices. You're just speaking of reawakening and what you spoke about staying engaged with one another. And you always perk up when I hear somebody from Alberta. That's my home space, Edmonton, more specifically. And I'm happy to get to be up in Calgary, actually, in a couple of months for an Art of Hosting. What's awakening now in me is part of what I'm hearing around the theme of conversations and connection.
It's 20 hours.
Try it with a couple of things here. I'm thinking of my daughter a little bit this morning as I'm on the call here. My daughter, her name is Zoe, she's 12, and she's well into junior high school. And her world has shifted. She's a beautiful little being, and her mode has shifted a little bit, and she's really into her friends and some of the things that are more centered on her right now. And I'm noticing a pattern that shows up where when I'm with Zoe, they'll say some things, you know, like just simple little everyday kind of things. You know, what's for dinner? And I'll say, well, I don't know, let's look in the fridge. And she'll say, well, there's nothing good to eat. And I'll get a little frustrated because I can see, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here, you know. And it started to tease Zoe a little bit about how it's not, there's nothing here, it's just that we're not, I'm speaking as a lack of imagination, you know, maybe we're just not imagining well enough together. And that's a theme that for me, the lack of imagination, or let me flip it and say, you know, the deliberateness of imagination or the openness of imagination, it's alive in me. And I think it's very much related to how we are in conversation together, how we are hosting with each other. I'm playing a little bit and have some mixed metaphors coming in around gardening. But it's just that sense of, boy, there's always more to imagine together, and that's really alive for me. When I look, oh, this feels way too broad, but oh well. When I look around and see what's going on in the world, I feel like what's really needed is the invitation. And so I'm very much linking the sense of imagination to an invitation to create something together. And feeling that when we create something together, I can speak it personally, I come alive. It's so much different for me to say, hey, let's think about this a little bit, or what could this also be, or you know, what is it maybe we haven't seen in this, or even just the what's alive question. All of those things really bring me to life a lot. And as I try to learn into why I experience them as life-giving, I realize there's something about an invitation to create and an invitation to make sense of things. I'm very much involved in a lot of hosting work and sometimes in local levels and sometimes in conference kinds of levels. And the opportunity to be with other people in an open-hearted space to listen, think, learn, imagine is something that has me very alive. And I think it has a whole lot to do with the kind of relationships we create in the world around peace. I'll stop there and place the stone back into the center.
I'm not sure, but I think there are one or two more people. Is there anyone else here? Checking. Mary, are you still
Yes, good evening. This is Jill in Paris. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I'm just checking because I'm using a calling card. So, good evening, yeah, good evening, or good afternoon, everyone. Again, I'm in Paris this time, so it's a little special. I usually live in New Jersey, and my wife and I, we came to Paris, sorry, about a week ago to visit my mother and my brother, and today we celebrated my mother's 80th birthday, so it was a big day for her. It was very successful. It's a very small party, six of us. Only two people coming from outside Paris, but obviously very meaningful for my mother and for all of us. And honestly, I'm a little tired. A lot of things going on, plus a lot of wine that I'm no longer used to. I took a nap not so long ago, maybe 90 minutes ago, and I woke up maybe 25 minutes ago. So sorry for being late. I was thinking about, you know, what is awakening. First thing that comes to mind is gardening in a literal sense. Spring is here. We had some blossoms in the garden before we left. Also fuchsia, which are like little bushes with yellow flowers, extremely resistant bushes. They are doing well during the winter. You don't see any buds or anything, but you can really see that they are alive. And that was pretty much the only thing that was alive. But it comes up early on, obviously, you know, late March, mid-March. It's like, you know, a very... the précoce in French, the English word doesn't come to me, but kind of early, announcing, you know, what comes next. And, but in the way, it's kind of difficult for me to say at this time. I've been a bit overwhelmed with work, so I realized that I need to spend more time, you know, taking care of my own self and doing my own gardening. And when I arrived here, I had a feeling also that when I arrived here in France at my mother's place, I had a feeling that I needed to chant. I do some kind of a Buddhist chanting. And this place here, that's where I spent the first 20, 25 years of my life. So it's obviously a very meaningful place, you know, for many different kinds of reasons. And when I come here, there's always a lot of things that pop up that were, in a sense, blocked away, and it's good in a sense to be in touch with them again. It's a way to fully discover who I am, in a sense, and not just myself being away in a different country. So that part of me is very much alive for about a week now. And I think it will give, maybe it will give birth to something else. But I think that something is brewing. I can't tell you what it is exactly, but it's bringing me again. And I know that something else will pop up, or will emerge, anything. I mean, someone mentions the word emerging. Out of these, all of these connections, you know, we're just finishing up the conversation week. There's been a lot of discussions around the world in this, you know, back gatherings, either virtual or face-to-face. And I think the world is going into a new direction. So that's my sense at the moment. Thank you. I would like to put the piece back in the middle.
This is Terry, and I would like to take the heart for a moment. As I'm putting my children to bed at this instant, at this moment of time, what is awakening in me is how I can become a better person to guide them to create a better future for themselves. And I'll just put the piece of the heart right back.
Anyone else? Well, I think that's everyone. And I just wanted to, as you were speaking, I was picking up on some themes that maybe I'll just mention, and that can take us into the next part of our call. But there's a lot about conversation and connection and hosting and engaging and conversation week. And all that that can be, kind of inviting the creative imagination and creating together with an open heart, imagining together. And there was also something about awakening, but reawakening. I heard several of you talk about something was coming alive in you again that maybe was put aside for a while, whether it be returning home to France or Jennifer re-engaging with the singing, those kinds of things. And then I heard also some things about children. And obviously those are very important parts in our lives. And I always sense when I hear each one of you speak about them, how they enrich your lives, they enrich your garden. So just keeping those things in the center, in the field, that we're creating together during this call. Jennifer and I wanted to share just a little bit more about our co-hosting process before we move into the main question. Jennifer, do you want to say a couple of things?
Sure, yes, I can do. I know, just to share with everybody, that when we were connecting around this call and what we wanted or what we sensed that the questions might be, just as we were connecting, I became very aware of the wind. And just outside my window, as I was connecting with Judy, I was aware of these huge gusts of wind. And I'm aware that you've been having a lot of high winds also in North America, and they've been whizzing across the Atlantic and hitting us as well. We've had a lot of windy weather in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I suppose. And indeed, last night I was driving back from London and it was very, very wet and very, very windy again. And as I was looking at the trees outside when we were connecting, and I could feel the buffeting of the wind against the window, and what I heard in my head at that moment was winds of change. And so we started talking about winds of change. And so in addition to the energy and potency of the equinox, we were aware of this change somehow. Something big is changing. Something is on the wind. And of course, there's a relationship with the earth, with the garden, the rain, the wind, spring, the equinox, and that what was speaking to us at that time. So that's me. Judy, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, probably not a lot. Just that I really treasure that process when somebody shares a part of what is alive for them or awakening for them, like Jennifer shared the wind, and all of a sudden it became alive for me, and I noticed that it was really windy here too, and it all does seem to tie in. I'm not quite sure how, but the winds have changed, and that there's something on the wind. Something moving on the wind. And Jennifer even reminded me how the wind comes across the jet stream across the Atlantic to Europe, and it's like this another way of the, it's like the breath, even the cleansing breath of the planet moving across and connecting each one of us. So I just was aware in our process of how when we connect and we listen to one another, how ideas are sparked, and it is that kind of imaginative co-creation that you spoke of, Tennyson. It's a very special kind of thing. So I don't even know that it's somewhere in the field here as we created this space, and we wanted to just share that with you. So I'd like to move into the main conversation where each of us can speak and pick up the hard piece as you feel called to say something or something comes to you. And also, it's probably still good to identify yourself since we may not be sure who's speaking. And you only need to speak if you want to, although, you know, it would be really great to hear from each one of you. The question that I'm going to give you is a little bit long, so I'll say it at least a couple of times. And it may just be a way to deepen or go more into the first question about what is awakening in you. Part of our intention with this question is to move us a little bit more from individual space into collective space. And, of course, both we as individuals in the collective are important. So I will say the question a couple of times, and then I want you to allow it to kind of invite to think within you to see what's there for you. The other piece that I find interesting in these kinds of really conscious conversations is also as we listen with attention to others, things are sparked in us, and that may invite something in you to be spoken. So following the thread is also sometimes a very meaningful way to engage. So what I'll do is read the question a couple of times, and then I'm not sure we're going to hear your bell, Holly. I haven't heard it.
I
wish you could hear what I'm hearing.
So,
can you hear mine? Judy, did you hear my bell? Shall I do it instead?
Loud and clear.
Shall I do the bell then? Okay.
So I will, wait a minute, I'll ring the question, I'll read the question a couple of times.
Okay,
and then ring the bell for a couple of moments of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jennifer rings the bell again, you can take the heart in the center as you feel called. So the question, what can we as gardeners of peace cultivate individually and collectively at this potent time and in this sacred space? What can we as gardeners of peace cultivate individually and collectively at this time, at this potent time, and in this sacred space? Jennifer, larger than this picture. Going off the energy experience of the conversation week online with 10 plus people, I think. And that whole experience was responding to a question, creating threads together, following them, going back into our own thinking, coming back in again, into different little pools. So the response that immediately comes to that question it's just the time for me, not so much as what we can create, but just the process of what it being in the process of creating. I know that's kind of maybe avoiding that in some way, but it just kept on going around and around in this conversation about the value of being in conversation. Talking about before, and I'm a very process-oriented person. I think I often know where I am until I've been through it first. And I'm wanting to have more rich, deeper conversations, and so I will know in those conversations when the collective energy comes forward, what will get created in the middle. But the answer is, I want to have more. And because I've become more in love with the questions and the answers, I'd rather live with the questions at the moment with more people in a deeper way. And that, to me, is what needs to happen more. That is right now. The feedback.
Thank you, Eleanor. This is Harvey, and I'd like to pick the piece up because I too am coming off of in the conversation week question. Ours was on leadership, and we ended up in a similar place perhaps. I might be interested in exploring that later together. And this word in the question that Judy spoke in, the verb, is cultivate. And I think the place we ended up in our conversation was how active is that and how allowing is that verb, and as leaders, how do we know? And that's been a very rich question for me this week as well. I think what I want to say for this call is that what can we do as gardeners of peace to cultivate is that somehow the very act of marking the space as sacred is right on the fence, or the fence, that's too much of a barrier, it's right on the bridge of being and doing. It is doing because you're marking space as sacred, but it is also being because you are standing in, not necessarily driving and shaping. I feel like that may be part of the change that we're moving into, is more and more people are standing up and calling and saying, you know, this is a sacred thing that we're talking about, or how we're interacting. That in itself is quite revolutionary, to have all these sacred spaces shared and global and public outside of what might be traditional. But that's the insight that I feel I've been gifted this week from the online conversation. And I place the heart tune back into the center.
students here picking up the harp piece. I don't really know what I'm wanting to say, except that being spring here, seeing all the spring birds coming back at each of their own time is always just one of my favorite times of the year. And yesterday I saw a couple of birds, and at first I thought they must be blackbirds because they were black, but in looking at in my bird bucket, they were starlings. And I didn't really have a close look at starlings before. I always would hear my husband talk about starlings, but I never really saw them, I don't think, before, and knew that's what I was looking at. But in reading about them, they were introduced, I think, something like 1830 or something to North America. And they're a bit of a nuisance bird, I found out, in that they take over some of the nesting spots of bluebirds and things like that. And I don't know why I'm talking about this, but just that it interests me about how communities can get along and how it all can work out. And I don't know, I love to see the starlings, but life is difficult, I guess, to some extent. And I'm just glad that for the opportunity to connect with other people in this quite different way for me. I'm just getting a feeling for it that feels quite, that I think it was Holly who used the word allowing, and I like that, allowing things to unfold rather than forcing them or making things happen. So that's where I'm at, and I'll put the piece back in the session.
I found myself just trying to notice the experiences that are coming into my body right now, heart-mind combo altogether. And I feel like what's coming in doesn't feel like it's related to the topic in some way, so maybe I'm also feeling a bit of that. I'm not sure how this relates, so I'm thinking about that. I just want to let it run for a minute. One is, 2 days ago, I was in Sarasota, Utah, with my parents who were visiting down from Alberta, and another friend of mine. We went out to eat at a restaurant, just a nice casual experience. This friend of mine and I really liked that process a lot. And in this case, it was processing. And what do you think of the waiter? This guy named Tom. It's not a big, heavy thing or anything, but it's just, you know, he had a really nice disposition about him. And I talked about how I thought he was a nice guy, and he interacted well with us. And that we interacted well with him also. And the thing is, there's something underneath all of that that's standing out to me that matters in a broader context than just showing up to this Tom, this waiter, that there's something about things kind of getting in, coming to practice the world of no separation. So in this little example of this waiter guy, you know, it's just like for this moment, we're together in some kind of little system here. He happens to be bringing us our food and responding to some of our questions, and we happen to be enjoying conversation at the table and asking him a few questions. But it's like there was some further, you know, joining that was there. I'm not trying to make this too heavy or anything, but just some kind of nice joining that was there that I think was rooted in an ongoing practice of no separation. And maybe that's not separation in, I don't know how to speak this so you can tell it's a bit of an edge here. We're in different roles, I suppose, when we're there, but we are also, you know, just human beings in the same space, in the same building, in this case a restaurant, and coming to enjoy a little bit of food with each other. There was something that was really nice about that. And I think in the context of this call, you know, we come together, some of us know each other, and some of us are coming to know each other, and some of us is brand new. And maybe the world of no separation just says human beings coming together periodically to listen or to witness or to be curious with one another. I'm learning a lot about ongoing levels of what no separation means. And if I bring that back to the question, Judy, that you spoke in for us, you know, how can I cultivate or how can we cultivate individually and collectively at this time and in this sacred space as gardeners of peace? There's something about that world of no separation, or let me say it just a bit differently, that energy of no separation that means a lot. And I think the other piece that I want to speak in, some of you know Chris Corrigan. He's a good friend, colleague, mate, co-host kind of person. About a year or so ago, one of the things I learned with Chris was this simple piece of juggling. Chris is a juggler, and he started teaching. I wanted to juggle. I thought I could do this. This looks like fun, you know. And started juggling away. And, did not start juggling away. Started dropping away lots of things. And one of the things that Chris did that I didn't realize would become so powerful over the next year up until now, and I think will carry on, is that there was so little judgment in this juggling with Chris. You know, you drop a ball, I drop a ball, and it's, oh, darn, you know, something like that. And Chris would just kind of laugh, and he'd say, hey, there's no need for judgment. Everything's cool. You're just learning, you know. Over the course of a year or so, that's really stuck with me as this invitation to remove a lot of judgment that shows up both in itself and with others. And the way into it for me that's been most helpful, I think, is, boy, there's only learning. So when I think of, you know, what happens in the world, what happens in my family, what happens in my community, and all of the ways that I have maybe been fairly judging myself, it just released some of that. And so I'm kind of trying to weave those together out loud as I think it. But the world of no separation and the world of there's only learning, that creates an awful lot of peace for me, and in some cases in some incredibly intense circumstances, be it family, work, whatever.
I'll put the stone back in the middle. This is Judy. I'm taking the heart. As you've all been speaking, all kinds of things are coming into me, so I don't know if it's all come back, but I was just thinking about judgment and separation. And judgment is certainly one way that we separate from each other, in however we do that. And I know it's been a part of my life that I've worked for a long time to release and still working on that. And it's so freeing when I can do that. And it's so freeing when I can release judging myself while cultivating that ability to not judge and to just sense into my connection with others is certainly something that I want to cultivate myself and with others. And as you were talking also about the waiter, I was recently reading
and I hadn't intended to read this book, and I just picked it up in an airport, by Eckhart Tolle, talking about roles and how they separate us. If we identify with the role and somehow we're playing out a part that separates us from our humanity, from the fact that we're all one. And so having that awareness, having the awareness and cultivating the awareness of our non-separation or our judgment or whatever piece we can be aware of, I think is a whole new pattern that we are cultivating and nourishing and growing, especially as we come together to have these conversations, because we spark that in each other. We spark that new learning and letting go of judgment, at least I hope so. The other thing I'm aware of, and this goes back to a previous call, but I sensed it here, is the idea of sacred space, and it's been mentioned that I had it in my question, that coming together like this in very conscious conversation is, for me, and maybe for many, a new kind of sacred space. And I mentioned this last time, it's on a Sunday that we talked, and when I was growing up, I went to church every Sunday, and that was expected, and I was supposed to do that, but it never quite felt like sacred space, I guess. There was something not really ever truly there for me, as much as I tried to make that happen. And I think that we may be creating, we who come together in this way, and it happens in a lot of different ways in a lot of places, and it seems to be happening all over the place. We're creating a new kind of sacred space, a new kind of sanctuary, the garden as a sanctuary, the garden as sacred space, where we can cultivate together, create together, imagine together, learn together how to be in meaningful conversation and beyond separation. So I'll put the heart back in the center.
So now I hope to get up, just naming a few words, emerging as it came to me when you were speaking to me. And the newness and the aliveness, but more than aliveness, almost the wonder, I think wonder that people are experiencing. And they are, yeah, the wonder that people experience when they come into such spaces and become touched by what can be possible for themselves and in the collective energy. And just when you said learning, Tennyson, the word came to me because it's a love of learning lover, and also I always think there's always possibility. So the other line that went through my head was, there's always learning, there's always possibility, there's always another possibility. And it's just a adding to the pot.
So this is Jennifer, and I'd like to pick up the piece. And there have been so many things spoken this afternoon about a sacred space, which I was also going to pick up on, Judy, and also the non-separation and the non-judgment. And the word that's coming through for me at this moment is the word respect. And I too used to go to church every day, every Sunday, because it was what was expected, even though I'd never believed a word of it. But it was something we had to do, and therefore, because we had to do it, it was something that was instilled in us, but it was something that we respected, even if we didn't necessarily go along with it. And for me, this way of communicating, and I'm over here in the UK, I know Gilles at the moment is in Paris, so there's two of us on this side of the pond. This way of communicating is so special for me. Of course, it comes, well, probably from lots of different native traditions, but in particular, I suspect, the Native American tradition, where the people would sit in circle and have a talking stick, just like we use a talking piece. And I think it's the same, as far as I know, it's the same process, the same practice. And so it's being, for me, it's being respectful of what other people have to say and listening with that attention and connecting with one another that creates that sacred place and non-separation and non-judgment. And when Judy and I were connecting with one another, we talked a lot about the sacred space, actually. And in the UK, certainly, and I'm sure in other parts of the world, where our churches are, where the churches have been built in our country, almost always underneath is a pagan site. So a site that was created way, way, way back by the native people of my country because they knew that it was a sacred place. And so they created a sacred place at that point. And then later the Romans invaded and they built temples in the same places. And then later the country became Christian and then they built churches in the same places. So going back to that native tradition, the native people, certainly in this country, would have gathered in those places. And then as Christianity took hold and as other religions, of course, not just Christianity, took hold, then some of those sacred places were created into religious places. And religion for me is just a way of man or woman trying to make sense of spirituality. That's how I feel about religion, and that we all have access to our own spirituality and the spirituality of the planet. And so coming back to the gardeners and creating and connecting rather with the land, and finding those sacred spaces. And what we are doing in this process, my feeling is creating that sacred space in the same way that people would have come together hundreds of thousands of years ago. So that's what's speaking to me. And actually the other thing I just want to say very quickly, today I found a piece of paper as I was going through some papers. And it was, somebody had written, I found this piece of paper, and somebody had written on it the lyrics of a song, Colours of the Wind. And the song, Colours of the Wind, is from the Disney movie Pocahontas. I think you say Pocahontas over there. And I don't have the words in front of me, but they really spoke to me. And I wish I had them now so I could share them. But you will only, basically it was, you will only learn what you need to learn when you can paint the colours of the wind. I put the piece back.
Well, this is Judy. I'm aware that it's almost a quarter of four. And so I'm aware that before long we'll want to begin to move into a post-process. Is there anyone else, person, that would really like to speak before we do that? I invite that now.
Hello?
This is Jill.
And in relation to this idea of judgment and sacred space, I wanted to mention this concept of appreciation. And interestingly enough, since I've been here for about a week now, I was chanting, and one thing that really came to mind was this need to chant for appreciation for just about, you know, anything that comes into your life, to be able to appreciate it, even though it sometimes it's not really pleasant. It seems to, at least to me, like a challenge. It's really, I think, the antidote to judgment, the way I look at it. And along with the value of appreciation, I was chanting for something I called ACE, the ACE, appreciation, compassion, and empathy. And I think, you know, these three elements are really going to what we've been discussing, to have this idea of, you know, connecting with one another. The more we appreciate one another, the more we have compassion for one another, and also the more we empathize with one another. I think it's really important. And being here at my mother's place, you know, gave me a chance to see how much more I need to cultivate myself in these three areas. But it's always a great benefit to be here. And I'm very grateful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
With the heart, this is Judy. I just really am in appreciation for all that was brought into this space during this conversation, and the respect with which it, and the thoughtfulness that with which it's given. I'm very appreciative.
Sure, yes, I was going to do that. Thank you. So now that we've heard everybody, I'd just like, before we do the closing, I would like to read again the Black Elk quote, that you may like to know that I found it on a fridge magnet on my refrigerator in my garage. And when we were connecting with this conversation, suddenly I remembered this quote and decided that I would like to be able to use it. So I'll just read you the quote again. May we see not only with our two eyes, but with the one eye which is our heart. May we see not only with our two eyes, but with the one eye which is our heart. So what I'd like to do, we have a few minutes left, but what I'd like to do is ask you to check out now. And please try and keep it as brief as you can. Perhaps, well, there's a little bit of time, so a short phrase or something that speaks to you. So the checkout question that I'd like to put to you now is, what is in my heart right now? What am I noticing? What is in my heart right now? What am I noticing? And I put the piece back.
This is Terry, and I'd like to pick up the heart. The checkout, I'd like to quote an extract from a poem that comes to my mind right now. I'm sorry, I don't remember the author. It goes something like, and in fact, this poem is written on my grandparents' grave. It goes something like, the mind has 1,000 eyes, the heart but one, yet the light of the whole life dies when love is done. And I'll put the heart back.
noticing a sense of peace in my heart. It just came to me. And with a garden of peace. So, put the heart back.
Holly, I will pick up the heart piece. What I'm noticing in my heart is feeling of settling in, yet also filled with kind of buzz of anticipation. I return the heart to the center.
Right away and is still here is the breath of appreciation, which is gratitude. That's what it's supposed to be. A lot of gratitude for this space, for this opportunity, for people who are going and looking for themselves. Thank you.
This is Jill. I'm sitting in my model's office and I'm looking at a map of the world. It's a big world. And it says the five parts of the world. And I realize that for such a long time we've had a tendency to divide things. Either to divide to conquer or divide to manage or whatever way. And I think the idea of moving toward one heart is the idea of undividing, to undivide, I think is really important for us to stay in that sacred place, again, to undivide, get the peace back.
This is Judith. What I'm feeling, sensing right now is a calm aliveness, which I'm very, very grateful for. Thank you.
This is Tennyson. I'm in the appreciative category also. Let me try that differently. So as not to create categories, I feel appreciation in my heart. And what I feel more specifically in our space together is the way that it builds, and just having a little bit of space together, let it build. And there's much to be experienced in just a little taste with one another. I find myself very aware that in a small taste with each other, it actually invokes or reminds or even re-energetically re-spaces me into many other circles and gatherings that I've been lucky to be a part of when there's something that really builds and grows. Appreciation and friendship. Keep to the center.
And so this is Jennifer, and I'd like to pick up the heart too, and gratitude is what was coming through for me as well, so we're all in, we're all picking up on one another in that respect. I just think it's so magical to be able to communicate in this way, and I just love to hear people's voices For me, voice is a very powerful, potent way of communicating. And even though there are people on this call who I don't know and have never met, we can somehow join together and we can have an echo of that person's essence through the voice. And with the magnificence of some of our technology now, it means that we can connect in this way all across the world. And I'm so grateful for that. It's so wonderful to be able to hear your voices. And so I thank you for that. And I put the piece back. So, Judy, do you want to explain what's happening now, or would you like me to do that?
I think you can just go ahead. I mean, we'll bring the call to a close now, and Jennifer, interestingly enough, is actually going to sing Blackbird. And the blackbird came into the circle, so I think that's really beautiful. But go ahead and tell them a little bit about the blackbird herd.
Okay. I thought it was remarkable, too, that Judith was talking about the starlings, because I was reading recently about the starling population in this country having dropped slightly. And they are remarkable birds, and there's a place not far from where I live where they roost, and there's a particular time of the year when you can go to this particular place at dusk and see millions of starlings. And they roost together at dusk, and they swirl around and make the most amazing patterns in the sky. And then suddenly they all head for the ground and the reed beds, which is where they roost at this particular time of year. It's the most spectacular natural event that you could witness. And so, yes, I'm going to sing the song Blackbird. The blackbird is actually a garden bird in this country. It's not like your blackbird. It's a very black bird, and it has a very bright yellow beak. And this song is by Paul McCartney, who used to be with the Beatles, as some of you will know. And he wrote this song apparently because he heard a story about the way in which in some of the southern United States that black women were treated. This song was written in the 60s, so I'm hoping things have changed since then, but that's why he wrote the song. And it's a particularly poignant song, which is one of my favourites. So when I've sung the song, I'll ring the bell again, and then what we could do perhaps before I sing the song is just say our goodbyes, and then we'll go back into the silence again after the bell. And I will play that music again, the Oriental Sunrise music, and then people can leave whenever they like, whenever they wish, or stay for 5 or 10 minutes with the sound of the Oriental Sunrise. So I just invite us to say goodbye. Okay. So I'm going to ring the bell, and then I shall sing. Okay. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
It's 21 hours.
All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the light of a dark black night. Into the light of a dark black night.
As Jennifer gets ready to put on the music, let's say goodbye to everyone. And then as you feel like you'd like to leave, please feel free to do so. So goodbye, all gardeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy and Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Very much.
Thank you. Goodbye, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.